from National Public Radio. NPR Playhouse presents Nightfall.
In the dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance, as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. Tonight's story takes us to the interior of Ethiopia, where nowadays they have bounties on virtually all wildlife, except for the human soul. The play, based on the Michael McCabe short story and dramatized especially for this series by Graham Haley, is called M'Kara.
You ever see a bull elephant so huge? Yes, the longest tusks I've ever seen. What a price they'll bring in London. Oh, my God. The elephant's eyes, they're all white, like ivory. They're like frozen moons.
Ethiopia, the mountains of the Urusi country, 1943, almost 5 years after the great bull elephant was shot. Charles Woodley is living out what he believes to be the last months of his life, devoting his days to science, to the study of the Abyssinian bushbuck.
Sylvia, I'm a doctor, not a psychologist.
Psychologist?
Don't look at me like that. There's nothing wrong with head shrinkers and no stigma attached to consulting them. I just don't belong to their ranks, that's all.
I thought about it a long time before I suggested you come out all this way.
Oh, no trouble. In fact, I needed a touch of travel. What else can a man do when his dearest friend writes him saying, Charles believes he's dying and won't see a doctor?
It was so good of you to come, Ray.
Perhaps I feel a sense of doom, too. But I haven't come all these miles to talk about my problems.
I do hope they disappear.
Sylvia, your man believes his number's up. There's nothing a doctor, any doctor, can put his finger on.
Are you quite certain?
Yes. And I've never seen a man so convinced he's departing this life.
You're the only one who can help him, Ray.
No. The only one who can help Charles is Charles.
He lies in his room for hours, rarely goes out for a walk, hardly eats anything. So sad, so resigned. Between us, we must do something.
Do you think this old doctor, so full of shrapnel that he rattles, can perform miracles?
Oh, Ray. Oh, dear, I've talked so much about Charles. I haven't asked about your own health.
My number's only a matter of time as well. Scrap metal from the war. But I've had, as they say, a long life and a happy one.
Oh, Ray, I feel terrible.
Don't. Just wanted to warn you, lest I keel over suddenly. Always believed in being prepared.
I hope you have many, many years yet.
Taking just one pleasant day at a time, perhaps I shall.
More tea?
Thank you, no.
Did Charles tell you what happened in Tanganyika 5 years ago?
Yes, but embarrassed outline. He was so busy with those blasted deer.
They're his passion. And very rare. The bushbuck.
Rare. So's his disease. Especially among non-superstitious Anglo-Saxons.
Disease?
It's called opting out.
Please, Ray.
Opting out of life.
Oh, Ray, don't be angry.
I am angry. Can't help it. Do you know what I said to Charles? Die, damn it. See if I care.
Ray.
Give me your life. I need it, I said. I'm afraid we're not allowed to switch bodies.
Please don't say such things.
I'm sorry, Sylvia. We doctors are a rough bunch sometimes.
Life is so terribly fragile.
Child told me about someone called Nkara.
Nkara. And the other fellow, the brother, Abdullah Mkulu. He's the terrible one.
You've gone pale. You believe them? All this nonsense about a curse?
Yes. Charles, make me believe it.
It's suicide. He's wishing himself to death.
Charles has lived in Africa for 30 years. He knows what the native magic can do. He believes in Kara's curse.
Kara's curse, indeed.
There's only 3 weeks to go. 3 weeks to the day.
Charles Woodley had been cursed 5 years before, in 1938. The day he shot the great bull elephant, there was feasting and music and dancing.
For my trackers and bearers, every man jack 50 bob apiece. And 2 days' holiday for them to be drunk in. Sylvia, we need a bull with tusks that long every month. Then we'd really be in business.
This huge fellow must set some sort of record.
Yeah, damn near it. Do you know what that ivory's worth?
A lovely holiday in Europe. Paris, Rome.
Holiday in Europe.
Bad words of you, my
dear. What's all this, Kobani? Why aren't you drunk like the rest?
There is a man from Moshi.
Yes, who is he?
With fire in his eyes.
Well, perhaps he's drunk.
He talks of a great bull elephant.
Yeah, all right, Kobani, bring him here.
Yes, Mwana. What do you speak bad words of?
You look tired, Sylvia. Why don't you lie down?
Oh, it's been such a happy evening. I hate to leave.
I was just thinking, we'll get the rest of the ivory into Dar es Salaam within a week. I'm loath to let this new stuff go by train.
Afraid of theft.
Oh, yes. Oh, what glorious ivory it is.
I just wish we could take the tusks but leave the elephants alive. Hmm? If only they could grow another set of teeth like children.
Oh, you're funny and gentle. And I love you, my darling.
This is Mantuana. This is Mkara.
Yes, but if it's a job that you want, I shan't be hiring any more beetles.
I am Mkara.
So I gather. Oh, wait a minute. Nkara? You have anything to do with Abdullah?
I am brother to Abdullah.
Oh, are you?
Charles.
Yes, well, for a start, you can tell your brother that he's a son of the lowest hyena.
Please, Charles.
And if he ever comes crawling around here with his bloody witch Dr. Mumbo Jumbo...
Oh, Charles, it's late.
Wait for me in the tent, Sylvia. You, Nkara, you tell your brother Abdullah that I'll have his guts for garters if he shows his face around here again. Now, what do you want? I'm in the midst of a feast.
I wish to speak alone with the man who insults my brother. The man who kills the great bull.
You better go, Sylvia. I'll talk to the old boy, steamed up about something. I'll join you in a couple of minutes.
Good.
Kubani's wives are doing a naughty dance at midnight fertility rites or something.
Now, that I do not need.
Here, you run along.
You're sure you're all right? Nkara looks awful.
Oh, Kubani is ready. I've only to shout.
Well, I'll go then. But take care, my love. Now, take care.
Yes, I shall. Now, Nkara, you old sinner, what precisely do you want?
You have insulted my family.
Yes, that's right. They're all useless. Well, come on, what do you want?
Today, you kill the bull of El Haza.
The bull of what?
The great bull of El Haza, who came down the river to provide for my people. You killed the god of all the elephants, our god. And I am bound to give you his curse.
Well, have you finished? Now, if you'll excuse me.
In the name of the bull of El Haza.
Don't you threaten me. I'll have your guts, too. That elephant had good ivory. It was only a beast. Since when has the god of the Mulusa been an elephant, anyway?
Since our prince told us many generations ago. since the great bull floated down the Nile from El Haza on a boat of reeds.
Oh, the great bull, as you call it, has never been farther than the Moshi district in its entire life.
For the death of the great bull, the white man is to die.
You get out of my camp. At dawn, I'll send out a dozen men. If they find you, they'll bring you back dead.
The white man thinks he is so powerful that my ancestors cannot harm him.
I do not believe in dead elephants or dead ancestors.
Then why do I see fear in the white man's eyes?
You get away from me, or I'll kill you.
Yes. Fear shine in the white man's eyes. Fear shine brighter than the frozen moon. You are cursed, white man. You will die bad death 5 years from this night. You will die.
Could I get you some whiskey, Ray?
In a moment, thanks. This nonsense about the curse happened in, 38?
Yes, June 17th. Charles told me about it next day. Said it was a lot of rubbish, but I knew he was frightened.
Nkara could have known the war was coming. Didn't take his curse to kill a man, necessarily.
What are you thinking?
He was counting on Charles being called up, perhaps, and killed in the war.
Well, I've no idea. For the first 2 years, we merely joked about Nkara's curse, but it haunted us always.
Now it's the fifth year. 43.
28th of May.
Get the 17th of June over with, Sylvia. Then you can feel free again.
And if nothing happens?
Nothing will happen.
Ray, do you know why we came up here, into the mountains?
No, I don't. Unless it was Charles' scientific deer hunt.
He's always had this thing about studying the bushbuck, and there are some rare ones up here. But the main reason was the elephants.
The absence of?
Yes. It's obviously not elephant country.
Sylvia, if you do have some whiskey, it would go down rather well.
Of course. I remembered you had a preference for scotch.
At one point, the curse was lifted, Charles told me.
Yes. All the witch doctors had a grand smelling out. A great washing and forgiveness ceremony. Charles said he had cursed Nkara too, you see, in retaliation.
Oh?
Yes, not that it counted for much. Here's your drink.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Sylvia, what takes place at a smelling out?
The witch doctors pool their powers, in effect, and trade forgiveness.
An ingenious way of covering up. Most of their victims would, in fact, be alive and well after the curse had fallen due.
I suppose so. They saved face.
Damn clever move.
Perhaps the witch doctors could sense the ones who would stubbornly refuse to die.
And the cleansing ceremony would make their powers seem even more awesome.
Yes. To curse was one thing, but to save someone from a curse was even more astonishing.
Where does Nkara's brother Abdullah fit into all this?
At the ceremony, Nkara removed his curse from Charles. The Bwana Woodley would be allowed to live, he said, but he must never again hunt the sacred ones, the elephants.
They do take their animal gods seriously, don't they?
There was a lot of bone shaking and wailing, and then the curse lifting was announced again. And then it happened.
Charles was transformed?
No. Nkara fell down dead.
What?
Nkara dropped dead. I don't know what killed him.
And Abdullah?
Well, his brother went hysterical, almost mad. And cursed Charles once more.
Because of Nkara's mysterious death?
Oh, perhaps, but who can be sure of anything here? Charles tried to get a German doctor to look at Nkara, but his relatives had buried him at once and wouldn't say where. Local custom.
So, in effect, the curse on Charles was never lifted?
Yes. And he's deteriorated steadily ever since.
Yes, I'm afraid I have rather fallen apart. You're quite right, my dear.
Oh, Charles!
Well, Charlie, it's about time you got up. Take me out to see your bushbuck today.
Yeah, well, I'd better, hadn't I? You've come such a long way.
That's more like it. We'll get some fresh air.
Yeah, Ray.
Hmm?
Could you...
Could you stay till June 17th? I'd like you to take Sylvia back to England, if you would.
Charles, will you stop being such a fool? Leave by all means. But the three of us, together. Now.
Charles refused to leave his mountain retreat. He was resigned to what he felt was his fate. There were, though, moments when he seemed happily absorbed, almost able to forget.
Ah, there. There, a female. I like the kudu, do you see?
Yes.
Yes, we're lucky. Bushbucks are usually well hidden in the daytime.
She's splendid.
Usual markings. You see the stiff hairs running along the neck and over the withers?
Beautiful beast. Now I understand your devotion to the bushbuck and to these mountains.
Oh, Ray! Ray, what is it?
Nothing, really. Just the shrapnel settling.
Well, we'll rest a bit before we head back. Oh, a couple of crocs, aren't we?
No. One old croc. You're looking at him, and one perfectly healthy man, yourself.
I only wish it were so.
Charlie, leave at once. Go down to South Africa. I'll stay on and look after things here for a bit.
No, Ray, I'm not leaving.
But you've a son in Dar es Salaam. You've no right.
I shan't see Clive again.
Take Sylvia to Dar. Then the three of you could go on to South Africa from there.
But you're forgetting
you can
that
I... get down the mountain easily in the next few days. The rains aren't due for...
It's the 10th of June. I've only 7 more days to live.
There is nothing wrong with you. What in hell do you think could kill you on the 17th of June?
An elephant!
Elephant? There are no elephants here. There haven't been for hundreds of years.
But there will be on the 17th of June.
The night of June 12th, Sylvia Woodley went to bed early, complaining of a headache. Her husband and Ray Park sat up late, talking.
Charlie, can a curse be transferred?
What?
Can a curse be taken on by someone else?
Taken on?
Well, I was thinking. I'm an awful mess. From my tangle with Rommel in the desert. More scrap metal in my body than there was in the tank I blew up with.
Whatever are you getting at?
Look, I'm not one for witch doctor hocus pocus, as you well know.
You are rather hard to convince.
But I've seen members of the darker races abandon themselves to death.
Oh, yeah.
Now I see a white man bent on doing the same. I see death written all over your face, Charles. I can see it in your eyes.
I've convinced you, then. There's no more calling me a fool.
Hand M'Kara's curse over to me, Charlie.
What?
I'll take it on. And you leave tomorrow. Go to Dar. Then to South Africa.
Do you think that I'd put this curse on your head, even if I could? It'd be murder.
And who's to judge what is or is not murder? Perhaps... you killed M'Kara.
A mere coincidence. Well, maybe the death wish was put into him by magic. I don't know.
Give your death wish to me.
No.
Do as I say.
You don't know. You can't understand.
Can't I? There's an old story about a man who was doomed to see a face in the mirror behind him whenever he shaved. Or merely looked into a reflecting window. There was the mysterious other face, always. But he rid himself of it when he told another man about it. Then the face haunted that fellow. And so it went the rounds. Whenever the story was told, the face went and peered over the shoulder of another. Until at last, it reached a doctor. But he, being a deeply religious man... was reluctant to pass on the haunting face. which was in itself a curse. So, the doctor told a blind man. Now, the blind man was unable to see into mirrors or window glass or reflecting pools. And so the curse was broken. Give the damn curse to me, Charlie. I'm dying anyway. I'm the blind man.
Ray, it couldn't just be switched. How could it be?
Say what you said to Umkara when you cursed him.
Ray, for God's sake, have you gone mad?
Do what I tell you, Charles. Or I'll kill you myself.
On the 15th of June, 1943, Charles and Sylvia Woodley left their Ethiopian mountain retreat, leaving it in the charge of Ray Park. Sylvia knew nothing about the passing on of Umkara's curse. She thought Charles had, by a supreme act of will, decided to fight. They'd flown to Uganda, and the night of June 17th were in Musendi. Charles was in very high spirits.
Here we are, love. 3 more days to Dar es Salaam. And then Clive, God bless him, and with luck, South Africa.
Oh, a new life.
Oh, Charles, let's drink to that new life. Charles?
Oh, my chest. Oh, it's like a vice. Oh.
Charles! Charles!
Run! The white bull is come!
Kabali, what is it?
The great elephant! The curse of Elhaza! Run!
God! He's alone!
Run, Bwana, run!
You go. Without me. Go on, Kabali.
But Bwana...
Go! Running away would not save me, Kabali. Go, now!
Save yourself, Bwana! Save yourself! Run! Run!
Oh. His eyes. His great white...
Mrs. Woodley, I tell you true. Me, I saw it happen. Everything.
Oh, Kubani. The whole place is destroyed. The house, the trees. It's horrible.
It was the most bad day of my life.
Oh, where did they put Ray? Mr. Park's body?
I bury him. 3 days ago.
But did you notify the authorities, Kubani?
No, Mrs. Woodley. The white man, he would not understand.
Understand? What?
It is not good for the white man to see.
Tell me, Kubani.
Bwana Park's eyes, they shone like frozen moons.
Charles's eyes, ghostly white.
The spirit of the great bull of Elhaza came. No elephants here, Mrs. Woodley. No elephant for 100 years.
You have just heard Nkara, the Michael McCabe short story especially dramatized for this series by Graham Haley. Featured in tonight's cast were Chris Wiggins as Charles Woodley, Maya Anderson as Sylvia, and Eric House as Ray Park.
You heard David Hemblin as M'Kara and Graham Haley as Kobani, with narration by your series host, the mysterious Luther Cranst. Our recording engineer is John Jessup, with sound effects by Bill Robinson. The series story editor is Earl Toppings, with the production assistance of Nina Callahan. Nightfall is produced and directed for CBC Radio by Bill Howell. And now, here is a final word from your host.
Hello again. On next week's Nightfall, I'll be bringing you a special present all the way from India.
I wish...
Don't anybody giggle.
I wish for £200.
No!
Freddy?
What is it, Dad?
It moved.
What?
The monkey's paw. Cool, that. Stiff and solid as a walnut, then suddenly...
What?
It twisted in my hand.
The Monkey's Paw, a new production of the timeless horror classic, starring Eric House, Ruth Springford, and Chris Wiggins. Next week on Nightfall. Until then, careful of the edge.
Funds for the distribution of this NPR Playhouse presentation were provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR, National Public Radio.